It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Tickets for Beyoncé's world tour have just gone on sale. However, as one of the first people to try and purchase a ticket, you discover the show is already sold out. Your only option is to purchase a ticket from a scalper at an astronomically higher price than you would have originally paid. How does this happen? I'm joined now in studio by Ron Dick, Associate Professor of Sports Marketing at Duquesne University. Ron, welcome back to the program.
Happy to be here, Paul.
And if you have a comment or question, if you are someone who is trying to get online or has gone online to buy tickets and discovered that the concert is sold out and wondered what happened and why you're stuck with having to pay much more than you had originally budgeted for, you can call us with a question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is essphgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essphgh. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Ron, if I'm really interested in buying a Beyoncé ticket or a Springsteen ticket for that matter, I'm going to try to be first in line or on the phone line when they go on sale. You're saying that doesn't matter, though. Why is that?
I think if we look at the secondary market, a lot changed 10 years ago. And I would go back. Yeah, we're going to talk about concerts. Obviously, that seems to be the topic of
interest. Well, we can certainly talk about sports, too.
Yes, and if you look at the sporting relationship, around 2006, Major League Baseball signed a five-year deal and then extended another 5 years, and now we're going into the fourth year of that second five-year deal with StubHub. And a young guy came up with that concept that we see that the prices of these tickets are low going in, and some people buy them up with the intent of reselling them. And what had happened was, it's all about the barcode, it's all about the location, and it's hard now to imagine this, but back then you were worried about, is this a counterfeit ticket? Is this a real ticket? Does the promoter or the team endorse it? And that relationship that StubHub had with MLB really gave it credibility in the marketplace. And I don't think a lot of people really understand how that works. And the way that would work is, let's say I bought a ticket for $35 for a Saturday night game, which in baseball, obviously there's a lot of games that we know in April and May that may not do so well. But if the team's doing well, people will buy it. And you buy them when they're all worth the same price. Now we've tiered the tickets. Every team does it a little differently, but you have superior games, which means there's sometimes inferior games. So for the Pirates, for example, they'll make the gold games. Their colors are
black and gold.
Black and gold. They'll make the gold games the premier games, and they'll charge more for that ticket
because those are tickets that are in demand. It might be a fireworks night or there's a souvenir of some kind of Andrew McCutchen bobbleheads being given away. So they know they can charge more money on that night, and they will.
And they will now. And then they have a black game, which is considered not as strong as gold, but stronger than white. And you say, well, what are the white games? About of the 81 home games for the Pirates, and this is virtually for every MLB team, they'll make the games Monday through Thursday white. They'll make the Friday game black, maybe the Sunday game black, and the Saturday night games gold.
Okay, and again, that has to
three
do
tiers.
With... You know, Wednesday night at PNC Park against the Miami Marlins, and they're not giving anything away. That's not going to be a high demand ticket.
No, it's not, and it's a cold, rainy night in April, right?
I hear a song here. No, yeah. Go ahead.
And as a result, they set the bar. We call that the primary market.
They right? set the bar because at some point they're looking at the weather, they're looking at the temperature,
day of the week,
and they're saying, you know what, we need to just get whatever we can. So it would probably help us move these tickets if we lower the price.
That's correct. And that seems to work for a lot of teams. Phillies do the same thing. They do blue and red, and then they do white. So it's let me just explain how that works. And I don't think a lot of the fans understand that and the consumers understand that. But let's say the Chicago Cubs are coming in town on July 8, 9, 10.
That'll be a hot ticket.
That would be a hot ticket, correct?
Right.
And especially the Saturday night game. So we make that gold. Matter of fact, the home opener, which we know is an automatic sellout virtually around the country, that's even at a higher cost than the gold games. So let's say you buy a ticket for $35 and you're able to sell it for $100 on that Saturday night with the Cubs, hypothetically. The actual person that resells it would receive $50 because you have to pay a $15 fee, 15% fee on any ticket you would sell on StubHub. So that would make it a $50 profit for the, if you like them, you call them brokers. If you dislike them, you call them scalpers. And then the buyer pays an extra 10% on their end. So there's a $25 fee that's in there that someone gets other than the person that sells the ticket. $8.33 goes to the home team of MLB. So in essence, they're making money, kind of like a used car salesman. You're making money off the sale of a resale of a car. $8.33 goes to the league office in Major League Baseball. And then finally, $8.33 goes to StubHub. So in essence, we're having the teams link the accounts to StubHub, encouraging the fan, the season ticket holder in many cases, to buy that because you're taking the risk off of our hands for the games in April and May and September if the team's not doing well and the Steelers are playing again. Mm-hmm. The high school football so popular here.
Right, toward the end of the season. If the team's not in the race, you're going to run into that.
That's right.
So, all right, so that explains the sliding ticket scale. And, of course, scalping is legal in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
I mean, I've lived in other states, Minnesota, for example, where you cannot do that. You can be arrested on the same corner in the same proximity to the stadium that someone might be here in Pittsburgh selling those tickets. We're talking about things that happen up front. Mm-hmm. People are kind of aware of how it works. They may not like it, as mm-hmm. you say. But the concert buying, mm-hmm. the ticket buying phenomenon for a concert, and those are usually in smaller venues.
Yes.
You know, if they're at the Consol, it's 18,000 seats. It's not the 40,000 at PNC or the 50,000 at Heinz. Mm-hmm. So it's a little harder to get that ticket. And those tickets usually go, you know, boom.
That's right.
But it's not just people interested in just going to see the ticket, buying those going to see the concert, buying those tickets. So would you explain, Ron, what is happening with this phenomenon? NPR has reported on it, and we've heard stories about it recently here on 90.5 WESA. It has to be extremely frustrating to people who are simply wanting to pay the face value to go, which is already pretty high, if it's somebody like Beyonce, mm-hmm. to go see her show, but they're being frustrated by the fact that the tickets aren't available. They're being bought up by some unseen entity that is making a profit, and that no one's been able to call out on this. Can you explain what's going on?
Recently, about a month before the Amy Schumer show, she's very popular right now.
Yeah, sure.
She's a female comedian, one of the best, probably of all time.
Movie star
now, did the Budweiser commercial
sure.
at the Super Bowl. And my wife said, I want to go to that. I'm like, okay. I went to the window at Consol Energy. They had two tickets left, and they weren't in the seat. They were second level, kind of at the end of the where the stage was, far away from the stage.
She said,
I don't want to sit there. I said, okay. So then I got on StubHub, and I purchased tickets for $180 each that someone had bought for $90. And I said, now, how bad do you want to go? And she's like, I mean, this is simple economics, like supply and demand. And she says, I would pay the $180 a ticket. The two of us go, so $360 to go see her. And we paid it. Now, somebody that bought those tickets way in advance, they were on the floor, you know, where the ice is. And, you know, we paid it because that's how bad we wanted to go, how bad she wanted to go. And it was a great show, et cetera, et cetera. But someone made... after they paid their fees to StubHub, they probably made about $80 a ticket off of that. So they pocketed $160. Now, to me, similar to the sporting teams, they feel as though they should get a piece of that. I would say, in Amy Schumer's case, she probably underpriced the tickets. Now, as we get closer to the game, in this case the show, the price will go up if it's a scarcity and high demand. Like, a lot of people want to wait till the last minute to decide whether they want to go or not. They want to check their schedule. They want to see if they have a babysitter, et cetera, et cetera. What's the weather like? Well, sometimes you have to pay a little bit more to have that convenience. That's what I've seen. Now, when you say Beyonce, she's coming here on May 31st, and I actually got on the internet, looked at her whole schedule. She's in Philadelphia on June 5th, I think, shortly after that. And, you know, now you're talking, you're pretty powerful if you could sell out Heinz Field. That's a lot different than Consol Energy. And I went and looked at some of those ticket prices, and they are a little bit over face value now. But it all depends on the promoter and the act, how they want to set the price.
But aren't we seeing unscrupulous people who have the means to go on the internet and buy the tickets before people can get in there? In other words, they're hacking the system. They're buying up the tickets and turning around and selling them for two and three times the face value of the ticket, which, again, is already pretty darn high. Mm-hmm. And now instead of paying $90 or $180, you're paying $270 or $360 or more?
Well,
what's going on?
There's StubHub. There's a group called Geek Seats, Vivid Seats, and, of course, Ticketmaster's fees are obscene, I think. I mean, they're very high. So some of these people are going out and buying. Now, you hear the horror stories where, you know, you send up a young kid, you say scalpers, send up a young kid to go to the window or wait in line. You know, some people will stay up all night and wait outside for them to go on sale, the individual ticket.
So then you pay
someone to do that, and then every person gets hypothetically 10 to 14 tickets. They max out how much they'll sell to each person. And as a result, you pay a young person to stand in line and get them. I think that's one way a lot of people get it. But I've seen some articles written on this. There's seven fundamental ways that people can get access to these tickets before other people. One of them is called spinning/bots, B-O-T-S. And that's why it's kind of weird when you see on a computer, it'll say, okay, put in this password. And it's some funky name or numbers with capital letters in it, and that is avoiding that's how we avoid computerizing, like buying 100 tickets at a pop, because that's the way we know that's a human putting in that special barcode of different, maybe six or seven characters.
And this is what NPR was reporting on, and which authorities are trying to somehow stop it, but they don't know how. Right.
Oh, it's a very controversial topic. Then the other thing is insider companies, sponsors, agents, promoters, players, coaches have access to tickets, and sometimes they're put up on the web. Besides that, the team executives, we just saw something last week happen at Madison Square Garden. Some of the guys that I work with the 76ers are now working at Madison Square Garden, and they have 40 full-time people that work in sales and marketing. Well, 10 of them were just fired last week by Madison Square Garden because they did a sting operation where they were buying seats for Oklahoma City, the Cavaliers, obviously.
The big teams that
obviously
people
Golden
see.
State that, right. You know. So they get a group discount or they buy them, you know, inexpensively. And then they put them back up on the market knowing for those big hot games, somebody will buy. And 10 people lost their jobs over that. Now, I think that's something that a lot of the general public doesn't know about. The teams like the Super Bowl, Major League Baseball playoffs, NBA playoffs, the sponsors are given a lot of blocks of tickets, the ones that kind of pay the bills from a sponsorship standpoint, which mostly the sponsors are either the signage, the boards that flip that you see on the ice. They spend millions of dollars in sponsorship, so they want to take care of their sponsors, too, the teams do. And then sometimes those tickets end up on StubHub. You have people that buy and then hold, which is what I think you're talking about, buying with the intent to resell.
The spinning bots, behind spinning bots.
Yes, and some of them do it in person. Then you have fan clubs. You always want to have the young people involved in your, you know, children getting their name as the juniors. And then sometimes they provide discounts for being part of that membership to keep young people involved. And then you have card deals like Smart Circle that buy them. And a lot of the baseball teams use that in an effort to stimulate the sales. But the best way to do is to cap the way these people have access to these tickets to the best of your ability. Secondary market's a very interesting area. I don't know that you're ever going to fully stop it. But you could eliminate people becoming season ticket holders if you feel it's being done too much. And with technology the way it is, we can really chart this pretty well.
You say bands like, we're down to less than a minute here, but you say bands like Pearl Jam and Metallica have tried to suppress ticket sales?
Yeah, they have. Those two groups in particular feel that they need to control this because they want the true fan that buys the T-shirts, and there's so much money in that, and they want them to pay a reasonable price. And sometimes they don't release the really good tickets to you, even though you've bought them, until an hour before the game. So that's or the event, which is another way of restricting the secondary market. Then there's a third market out there that a lot of people don't talk about, is people that buy on the secondary market because they think they're underpriced. So it's sold twice. The seat is, it's actually three times. It's sold in the primary market by the promoter or teams. It's then sold on the secondary market, and then finally someone else picks it up and then resells it.
Well, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes than we realized, and no end in sight, apparently. Ron Dick is Associate Professor of Sports Marketing at Duquesne University. Ron, thanks for sharing your insights with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.